name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts, to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Salvation all the day.
For their number is past my knowledge.
With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come.
I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone.
O God, from my youth you have taught me.
And I still proclaim your wondrous deeds.
So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me.
Until I proclaim your right to another generation, your power to all those to come.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the sixth chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased.
All kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the 14th chapter. Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God,
begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the Gospel reading. Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. When Simon Peter saw the large catch, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. This is our text. Like St. Peter, we've all come up empty a time or two. Maybe we've come up empty a time or two just in this last week. If I were only talking about fishing or about ice fishing, we wouldn't be too concerned about coming up empty. Fishing is our hobby, not our profession. We'd still have something to eat, even if we caught nothing. And yet we probably can relate. St. Peter spent all night casting without catching. This wasn't a deep sea fishing trip to Florida with his buddies. This was his livelihood. Bone wearying work all night long. For us, it would be a day in the office pushing papers but accomplishing nothing. Making phone calls but no sales. It'd be like that important computer file that you worked on all day and then lost. Or like the hours you spent on a homework assignment that you misread. Or dirty laundry, unwashed dishes, and piles of mail that multiply. Another day gone by with nothing to show for it. Do you sometimes feel as though weariness and discouragement are the only fruit of your labor? Then you can relate to St. Peter. His was a night of no fishing, of fishing but no fish, of casting nets without a catch, of watching the bobber refuse to budge. You can almost hear the frustration and the exasperation in St. Peter's voice as he speaks with Jesus. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. It feels to me like I guess, Jesus, if you say so, I'll do it. Why not try one more time just to make Jesus happy? After all, the fishing can't get any worse, and it might do good to humor the carpenter from Nazareth. I wonder if we do our work sometimes in a similar manner. If we reach the end of a day and wonder where the time went, and then start the next day still tired and return to our duties not because we expect something to happen, but only because there's nothing better to do. I guess, Lord, I'll put the nets in one more time. I wonder, having heard the Master's word, are we reluctant to do what he says? Reluctant to listen to him, hesitant to step out like Jesus invites. Do we think that we know better than he does? But what else is there for us except to throw the net in one more time? At least we've got food on our table and shelter over our heads as day after day races by. Has our work, our retirement, our job search, our health, left us pessimistic, cynical, and disappointed? Do we think that our work doesn't matter or that our time at home is wasted? Do we wonder if God is doing anything with us? I mean, it would be nice to end each day by declaring the work that we've done very good. It would be wonderful if we ended each day taking pride in our own great catch of fish. And yet there often seems to be nothing holy, nothing redemptive about our work. Rather than saving the world, our lack of accomplishments show us that we live in a broken world, one in need of salvation. Now you know how it ends. Peter does get a great catch of fish, in fact, greater than anything he possibly imagined. But he caught nothing that night by his own labor. It was the word of Jesus that caused him to go out into the deep and cast his nets again. It was the word of Jesus that produced the miraculous catch of fish. That same word that created the seas and everything in them is the word that blessed St. Peter's work. And isn't he also the Lord of all the earth? All depends on his blessing. All depends on his benediction. All of your work and your time and your energy as well as mine. The Lord alone makes our labor profitable. This is the encouragement St. Paul provides. He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. How will we know that our labor is not in vain? Our prosperity, rewards and promotions, the mark of God's blessing on our work. God doesn't promise a great catch of fish for every cast of the net, but he will take even our long, weary days of frustration and use them for good. Will we always understand the ways of our God? No, of course not. His ways are not our ways. And yet we know him. We know that he is the God of all mercy and grace and faithfulness. The work of our hands doesn't depend on the guarantee of earthly success. We don't do what we do because we know that it's always going to be successful or work well or perfectly. No, the work of our hands depends on the word that God spoke over his creation in Genesis 1. God promised when he created everything to sustain and bless his creation, and he promised to do it through the work of our hands. Do you remember how he told Adam and Eve to take dominion over the whole creation? That's what we do in our own little sphere each day when we rise. And so we go about our work. We cast our nets. We cast our net in the office or in the studio or in the home. And then the Lord produces the outcome. And we know that such work is never in vain, for it is his work done through our hands. St. Peter's final cast into the deep was not a show of his own prowess. In fact, I think if Peter had had his way, he wouldn't have even tried one more time. It was a physical demonstration that his labor depended not on himself, but on his Lord. This was the strength that he needed for the work ahead, not a guarantee of a great catch. All he needed was the call to trust in the Lord of sky and sea and earth. That's your call as well. Not to have a great success in everything you do, but rather to do what he's given you to do and trust him with the outcome. I can imagine St. Peter many years later, now serving as a fisher of men, remembering that his work was only to cast the net of preaching, but the outcome, the catch, belonged to God. I think an even better picture of this is not St. Peter, but rather the work of our Lord himself. What looks more fruitless, more empty, more meaningless than the body of our Lord hanging on his cross? If there was ever cause for despair over a lifetime of labor, it came in the darkness of Good Friday. I mean, doesn't it seem when he's hanging there that everything he's done has come to naught, like it's all failed? That's certainly what his disciples believed. That's what it looked like to the eyes of the world, like a supreme and utter failure. But we know how it is, for real. The crucifixion of Jesus was a work that God established, and from it flows every blessing that we enjoy. And now, because of Christ, because of the work that he did, we can also trust in God as we do our daily tasks. Our call to trust comes not only in times that look like they're going to be prosperous or successful, but also in times of apparent failure. Martin Luther said that we are to work in our calling with all faithfulness, and that we are not to give way to idleness on the one hand or to foolish anxiety on the other. That, of course, is often our temptation, a temptation to idleness or a temptation to foolish worry and anxiety. But God calls us instead simply to live all of life, to live our life at work, at home, and at church with trust in Him. For those catching fish, for those who are fishers of men, for men, women, and children who serve in every calling, serve faithfully and trust God. Do the work that He's given you to do to the best of your ability. Cast your nets week after week, and let His word of blessing do its work. How often have we worked but not trusted? Have we, like Peter, served in our vocations because there's nothing better to do? Well, I guess I might as well throw the net in one more time, Lord, if you say so, but I'm not expecting much. Maybe we've wondered about God's faithfulness to us. Maybe we have grown lazy or anxious. Maybe we haven't trusted as we should. And so we fall on our knees. We fall on our knees in the bottom of the smelly, dirty boat, and we say, with St. Peter, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I didn't trust you when you told me to cast my net. I've become hopelessly tangled in the net of my own sinful nature, in the muck and mire of my week." We say, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner. Go away, Lord, leave me alone. I just want to pull the blanket over my head and curl up. You don't need me, weak as I am. You can't use me, little as I am." And we mean it. He's too good for us. We don't deserve it. But the Lord didn't depart from Peter, and He hasn't departed from us. To all those thoughts going through our head, He says, "Don't be sure about all of that. Get up, Peter. I'm not finished with you yet. I've got work for you to do. Get up," He says. "Take a look at these, my hands and my side. You think this catch of fish is something. This is only the beginning. I've got more to do through you, and you've hardly begun to see how much I can do and how great my love is." And this is the word He offers to you again today, this word of forgiveness, this holy absolution. And He hauls you into this boat. That's what we call the sanctuary, the nave, the church. Our Lord Jesus Christ hauls you in, and He doesn't cast you out. And He casts His nets again and again. When you were baptized, through the preaching that you hear Sunday after Sunday, in this precious gift of the Lord's Supper, casting His nets, hauling you in, making you part of His church. And through these gifts, He's worked a greater miracle than that amazing catch of fish many years ago. His work is to catch men, to catch you. This is the miracle. You are caught again by your Lord, and you are today a different man, a different woman, a new creation, and your work as well is renewed. Though we may come up empty and faithless during the week, Jesus Christ is here, and He fills us with forgiveness, and He gives us eternal life by His absolution. Do we wish for work that's holy, redeeming, and saving? Such was the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. At the end of a long and weary day, God invites us not to reflect on our own work, but on the work which His Son did for us. When you come to the end of the day, stop looking at what you've done and rest instead in what He's done. With Jesus' resurrection, the Father declared His sacrifice very good, a perfect sacrifice for our sins. The work of Jesus Christ is holy. It is redeeming. It is saving. And our baptism into Him is also a baptism of our work and a baptism of our hands and all that they do and a baptism of our time and our energy. Because we are holy by faith in Jesus Christ, our work also becomes holy. What you do has meaning because of what Jesus Christ has already done for you. He forgives your sins. Don't be afraid. The blood of Jesus Christ allows us to stand before a holy God. And just as Jesus raised Peter and called him to work in faith, so he also absolves you and calls you to live and work in him. And so he sends you again this week. He sends you to your home. He sends you to your office. He sends you to your family and your clients and patients and everyone that you are with. He sends you to pick up your nets and continue the fishing. The catch may be small. The work may be wearying. But we are sustained by his promises. We no longer speak of our toilsome nights. We no longer talk about our empty nets. But we speak of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose work brings us life. Having been absolved, we can now say with the psalmist, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands." Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith to proclaim God's word, that having learned to believe in God's righteous acts and saving deeds, his people would tell of his might to the next generation, so that all may rejoice in the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, especially those called to be fishers of men, that they would not be discouraged when they toil all night and take nothing, but continue to let down their nets at his word, according to his calling. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and all who have been sent into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith to carry out our daily vocations, trusting that his Son will do his gracious work through poor sinners like us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all expectant mothers, especially for Kelly and Rachel, that they may be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the weak, and the afflicted, for Luann, Tamis, and Rose Marie as they undergo surgeries, for Gino as he receives the neck ablation, for Georgia entering respite care, for Anthony going through a challenging time, for the Moore family and Nelson and his family as they mourn the death of loved ones, for Sandy, who is hospitalized,
David, who is in critical condition, Brooke, Kevin, and their family, especially Tommy, as they struggle with the flu, Tiffany, as she recovers from her heart issues, John, as he deals with cancer, and for his wife, Lori, and their son, as well as for Kate, Karen, Rick and Teresa, Verity, Diane, Amara, Tom, Marilyn, and Bruce, that God would not be far from us nor forsake us, but make haste to help us for Christ's sake. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our homebound, especially Donna, Anita, Barbara, Ruth, Joan, Jeanette, and Andrea, that the Lord would bless them with peace and joy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that our lips and lives would be cleansed by Christ's body and blood, and that we would be worthy to stand before him now and at the last day, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, never depart from us. Though we are unworthy of you and your bounty, you are pleased to receive our meager thanks and reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience. Let your word rule us. Let your spirit revive us, that we might leave behind pride and anxiety and follow you in all we do. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
to the Lord, for he is good. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you